Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to the podcast. This is a curated collection of podcasts from our 2019 prayer and fasting season, and it's our heart that these will equip and encourage you to go deeper in your understanding of prayer and fasting.
Well, welcome to day 15 of our Closer podcast series. My name is Stacey. It's my pleasure to continue the conversation today as we embark on our 21 days of corporate prayer and fasting. And here we are, Dr. Mike, at the beginning of week 3 on the home stretch. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Stace. It's good to be with you and everyone listening.
Yeah.
The home stretch is always a good one. When you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, that's a good thing, but it's not over yet. So many of us have still got some things to hear from God about and breakthroughs to get and some things to learn. And so we ought not to think, well, it's down the back straight now, and so we can back off a bit. We should just continue to persevere in our prayer and that special time with God and focusing on what it is that we're seeking God about.
I know I'm really enjoying in this season the fact that my physical hunger is making me just so much more aware of God all throughout my day. I think I'm going to miss that.
Good for you.
I'm not saying I'm not looking forward to food.
Yeah. Look, you know what? It is amazing how different people respond to fasting in different ways. I hate it. I love the result and what God can do in me, but it's not really a really fabulous experience physiologically and emotionally for me. It is for others, and I'm really glad for them. So whatever it's like for us, and we all respond differently to fasting, we just have to persevere and appreciate, well, this is what it is for us in this season, and still focus on the Lord.
Yeah, and we are hurtling towards our closer conference.
It's just a few days away, isn't it? It's just a few days away.
I am so excited. It's going to be amazing. Are you looking forward to it?
I am indeed. This is going to be my first closer conference.
Ooh.
So I can't wait. I always want to get closer to the Lord. My loving Father who loves me so much.
Today, Dr. Mike, we're going to be talking about when the church in Antioch fasted. We've been focusing on the different kind of prayers for the last few days. Yesterday, we looked at the spiritual fast according to the prophet Isaiah. But today, we're going to dive into the word and look at when the church in Antioch fasted. Have you got some introductory comments for us before I read the scripture that we're taking the teaching from today?
Yeah, sure. This is probably the first time apostles were sent out from the church at the time, other than those apostles that Jesus himself appointed, the 12. We know that Jesus went and hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. And then they appointed Matthias to replace him because they needed 12 apostles. Mm-hmm. So other than those 12, this is the first time we see the appointment of other apostles,
right,
people who were not apostles appointed by Jesus, to advance the kingdom. And, you know, our vision, our mission is to advance the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so this might have some very significant things to say to us as a church, as a congregation, in terms of our corporate praying and fasting and worshiping
right,
God.
Right. And am I right in understanding that this is the first time it was a corporate fast?
It's the first time we read about it, I think.
Okay. Yes. In New Testament.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to start by reading the scripture that we're taking today's teaching from, which is in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus." Dr. Mike, can you unpack what the Bible is teaching us here about prayer and fasting?
Well, this church in Antioch was worshipping and fasting when the Holy Spirit spoke. And this is a powerful thing because there's no doubt that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, and we know that there were prophets there. Mm-hmm. The verb fasting here, the way it's written in the book of Acts in the Greek text there, it simply indicates that this may well have been a regular part of the devotional discipline of the congregation, that it might not just been an occasional thing, but it might have been something a little bit more regular. So during one of those times of regular worship, which included fasting, one of the prophets, could have been two, we're not told, They were directed by the Holy Spirit to call out Barnabas and Saul, whose name was later to become Paul, to become apostles. They appointed them apostles for the work to which he, God, had called them and literally summoned them. So they were experiencing an apostolic call for the first time during the church when it gathered together. They were worshiping, they were praying, they were fasting. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets and set these two aside. So this work was the work of spreading the gospel to advance the kingdom. And we know that from what they did, they preached the gospel, they planted churches, and they later came back to establish leaders in the form of elders in those churches, and they provided ongoing teaching. So congregations were formed as the gospel spread. All this came out of the church praying and fasting and worshiping together. And the gospel spread, and more people have come to know Christ as a result. So this was to be a new apostolic thrust. Jesus began the apostolic movement when he appointed 12 of his disciples as apostles. He designated them apostles. And now here we have a new group of apostles in the form of Paul and Barnabas set aside. Mm-hmm. So until now, as I mentioned before, the apostles of Jesus and the evangelists Philip and Stephen were the only ones out there preaching and advancing the kingdom. We know Stephen was the one that was stoned to death. Philip preached a lot in Samaria, and many people came to Christ as a result. And so this was a turning point for the spread of the gospel in the eastern Mediterranean region, where the Gentile believers began to be accepted as full participants in the church, because the church came out of a Jewish group of disciples, and they initially thought, because Jesus came to the Jewish nation, to the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. So now Gentiles are getting saved for the first time as a result of this apostolic calling on these guys. Wow. And this all came about because of the church praying and fasting. Mm-hmm. So the church responds to the prophetic call of the Spirit to send out Paul and Barnabas with another period of prayer and fasting. We don't know how long that is. It might have been a short time, might have been a few days. And you can imagine, they're praying for wisdom. They're praying for guidance. They're sending these guys out into the Gentile world, and they are not for Christianity. So this is very new. So they're praying for courage. They're praying for protection as they embark on their new missionary initiatives. So the two of them are sent out on their way by the Holy Spirit. They prayed and they fasted again. The Holy Spirit spoke and they prayed and fasted again. And then they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. And the scripture says the Holy Spirit sent them on their way. So it seems from this passage that, in summary, as the church was worshiping and fasting, no doubt seeking the Lord in that season, the Holy Spirit interjects whatever their agenda was for praying and fasting, and he calls these two out to begin an apostolic thrust into the Gentile world. And he spoke to the church through the prophets, who are very, very important in the life of the church. So this was a turning point in the early church's history. So the gospel began to spread to the Gentile world, and Paul later, as we know in Paul's writings, he sensed that call to the Gentile world. Mm-hmm. Peter was apostle to the Jews, mm-hmm. Paul was apostle to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And he, with Barnabas and then others, began to evangelize. They began to establish churches. They began to establish elders. And that broader church, in terms of the wider worldwide church, began to move out away from Jerusalem as a result. It went out from Antioch at this point, but it was birthed in Jerusalem and then went out and out and out and out.
So good. Derek Prince talks about this fast in Antioch, and he says that it was through collective prayer and fasting that Barnabas and Paul received, first, the revelation of a special task, and second, the grace and power needed to fulfill that task.
That's extraordinary, isn't it?
I think it's so encouraging to everybody who's listening today that if God's calling you to something during this fast, he's also going to give you the power and the equipping to fulfill that call.
Yes. And, you know, we know from other portions of the scripture, everybody who's a Christian has the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. which means everybody has gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And God gives us gifts in conjunction with the call that he has upon our lives. So everybody has a ministry, just not just pastors, evangelists, pastors, prophets, teachers, elders, full-time church leaders, but every single person who has the Holy Spirit has a role to play in the kingdom. And so sometimes we come to an understanding of that in prolonged periods of prayer and fasting, where we can get a sense of who we are in God. And he speaks to us sometimes directly, sometimes through the scriptures, sometimes through a prophet like yourself. In times of prayer, God reveals things to them for us. And we get that revelation of that next season of call for our lives. And that's so encouraging.
Yeah, I love from this passage that one of the things that we can note is that God actually changes what he calls them. So their identity remains the same. It's grounded in Christ and who he says they are. But they go into this collective prayer and fasting as disciples. They come out of it as apostles.
Yes, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
Yes, but you've got a culture here where, of prayer and fasting and worshipping. And where church is so God-focused, God speaks. When churches are concerned about their own agenda, about pastoring one another, which is not wrong, but if that's all they are concerned about and they don't have that upward thrust of constant worship, of prayer, of fasting, because, you know, when a whole church fasts, the whole church is saying, Lord, pay attention to us. We're seeking you. We need you. We want you. We want to do your will in this world. Yes. And we know that Jesus came to establish your kingdom. We want to play a part in that. And when a church is praying and fasting and seeking the Lord together like that, God speaks. Yes, and I think he would take great delight in revealing his will in new ways to individuals and to the group as a whole.
And as we follow the scriptures along, moving, you know, into the next chapters, as they are sent out and new churches are birthed and disciples become churches, as they appoint local leaders for each congregation, they also pray and fast at the establishment of each of the new churches. And I find that really interesting because as a church that is planting campuses, this is something for us to think about. Are we praying and fasting every time we plant a campus? Are we following the New Testament model?
Well, as we all know, on Vision Sunday, Pastor Corey outlined part of the vision was to plant churches.
Yeah.
Not just in Australia, but wherever God calls us to.
That's right.
And so those big decisions, sending out people,
yes.
Calling people to make sacrifices, sometimes resign their jobs and relocate.
Yeah.
They're big sacrifices, not only the people who are called to lead those churches, but their families make and the teams make.
Yeah.
And so to get that revelation and wisdom from God, prayer and fasting is a great environment to do that.
It really is, isn't it? In chapter 13 and 14 of Acts, it talks about collective prayer and fasting. It shows that it plays a vital role in the growth and development of the New Testament church, and that it was often through prayer and fasting together that the early Christians received direction and power from the Holy Spirit for decisions that they had to make or tasks of special importance.
Yeah.
And that's our inheritance today as well, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. When we sacrifice the very food we need to eat when we're fasting, it gets God's attention.
Mm.
And, you know, when we talked about the other day, when we talked about the spiritual fast in Isaiah 58, they talked about getting God's attention.
Mm.
Their problem was that they weren't doing the other things that God wanted them to do. So they thought they could sort of half do what God wanted them to do and then the rest of the time abuse one another and neglect one another and do those things that God didn't want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're walking with God and we're seeking God and we're praying and fasting, Holy Spirit comes.
Yeah.
He wants to do things. We get his attention. He gets our attention and he's going to make sure that his will is made known to us.
Yeah, it's one of the really important and foundational truths of fasting that I'm even noticing during this period of time, and we've talked about it in other podcasts. Fasting isn't twisting God's arm. It isn't making him do something or changing his mind. But what it does do is it makes us. It changes us. And again, from this passage, they went into it with one identity. They came out of it changed and empowered at a whole different level.
Yeah, indeed. And you could see we are probably here because of that day.
Yes. Oh, that's actually a bit mind-blowing.
Because we're, well, I don't know about you, I'm not part of the Jewish heritage. Mm-hmm. My background's in Russia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they came out of Israel in any way, but my heritage is in Russia. I have pure Russian blood in me, though I was born here in Melbourne.
Well, funnily enough, mine is Chinese and Scottish.
There you go.
So no Jewish there either.
So we're Gentiles, and so we have come into the church through the preaching of the gospel that began to be preached to the Gentiles through Paul and Barnabas.
Yeah.
And they came out of a season of prayer and fasting together as a congregation in Antioch. Yes, you can you imagine Bridge Church prayer and fasting, corporate worship, corporate prayer and corporate fasting, what God's going to do in us and what God is going to do through us.
And how they'll be talking about it in generations to come.
Oh, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is. I love reflecting on the fact that we are living in days that the apostles and the prophets prayed and dreamed of. It's so cool. What a privilege to be part of God's kingdom, which is always growing and always advancing.
Well, Jesus said, blessed are they who do not see yet believe. He spoke of us. We do not see. We haven't seen Jesus face to face. We didn't walk with him on the earth while he was here. But we believe, and he's revealed himself to us through the Holy Spirit and constantly through other ways now.
So for all the people who are listening today on day 15, we've been talking about when the church in Antioch fasted. What would you say from this passage to encourage them in their fasting season right now?
Well, God has a special call for every individual. These apostles who were called to preach to the Gentiles, establish churches to advance the kingdom, that was their call.
Yes.
It might be the call of someone listening right now. They could be next church planters. They could be missionaries in foreign lands, cross-cultural missionaries. They might be subcultural missionaries. They could be pastors. They could be leaders. They could be marketplace leaders in their own place of employment where they are now. They could be called to bring the kingdom into their school where they're teaching, into their hospital where they're nursing or doctoring, into their place of employment where they're working, whether they own the business or they're an employee in the business. If students are listening, they are called to bring the kingdom of God into their schools, amongst their friends. And this could just be the season where God clarifies that call and empowers and encourages them to do that.
I think the biggest takeaway for me from this passage is what would have happened if they hadn't fasted and prayed?
Yeah, that's a great question. We might never know, but that's worth meditating on.
It is.
But what we do know, they did pray and fast and God spoke.
That's right. And Pastor Corey touched on this. Prayer and fasting is an invitation and we're all invited into this space. And I just want to make sure I'm the person who every day I'm saying, yes, yes, I'm going to keep going. Yes, I'm going to stick with this. Yes, I want to walk into all that you have for my life. And that means that for Christians and believers, praying and fasting is just part of how we live our lives.
Yes, it is. And also taking the kingdom of God everywhere we go. See, these apostles were sent out into a place where they hadn't been before to bring the gospel, to bring the kingdom of God. Sometimes we are called to take the gospel and the kingdom to a place we haven't been, but other times we're called to bring the kingdom just where we live, where we work, where we study, where our friends are, into our neighbourhoods. So this is about the advancement of the kingdom.
Absolutely. I found that when the kingdom of God is advancing inside of us, it's growing inside of us, that every time we pray and fast, every time we spend time in intimate relationship with Jesus, the kingdom of God expands in us internally, even if our feet don't tread anywhere new.
That's a great way of putting it. Because it all starts on the inside, doesn't it?
It really does. Also, a reminder, if you do have any prayer needs during this fasting time, we would love to pray for you. We have a team of intercessors, a team of people who are passionate about prayer. And so all you need to do is fill out a prayer card or call the church office and we can fill one of those out for you. And we will have people praying for you during this prayer and fasting season. But before we finish up today, Dr. Mike, I think it would be really great if you could actually pray along the theme of this Antioch fast for perhaps people who are starting to discern a new call or that they're being called to go into new territory. Could you pray for them today?
I'd love to.
Great.
If you're driving along in your car, don't close your eyes. We'll close our eyes for you. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus as we pray. Whatever we're doing, at work, at home, in the car, on the tram, whatever we're doing, we focus on you and we speak to you and we ask you. reveal to us your will in this next season. As we reflect over this church in Antioch, which is so far removed from our location here, but the truth of that is as powerful here as it was back then, that you want to advance the kingdom through us. We're in the kingdom because we're born again, and you've called us to a very high calling to serve you and represent you in our world, wherever that might be, whatever that might be. And for those whom you have called to be apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or teachers or elders or leaders, or those perhaps who are going into full-time ministry or to advance the kingdom in a very special way, I pray you clarify that for those people who are so called. For the rest of us, Lord, if we are called to bring the kingdom into our workplace, into our schools, universities, families who don't know Jesus, during this season of prayer and fasting, give us everything we need. Give us courage, give us strength, give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us revelation. Give us the ability to articulate the gospel and the love of Jesus to the people that you've brought us to every day, that they might come to know you, that for them, the kingdom would become a reality. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.